Okay, newsflash. Mary and Joseph were Jews. Okay, that really wasn't news. So their son, Jesus, was born to Jewish parents, and they raised him according to Jewish law. He was taken to the temple for circumcision and naming, according to Jewish tradition. Then his parents took him home until the ritual cleansing of his mother 30 days after his birth. During the time between those two Jewish rituals, Joseph sought work in Jerusalem to care for his new family. When Mary and Joseph entered the temple through the court of women, the prophetess Anna, daughter of Phanuel, an 84-year-old widow, was stirred from her prayers to notice the young couple and the baby they carried. On reaching the sanctuary, Simeon, a long-time servant of the temple, became instantly animated. The Holy Spirit had promised him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. On this day, the Holy Spirit let him know that on that day, Scripture was to be fulfilled. He greeted Joseph and Mary and took the baby Jesus in his arms and blessed him. Looking into his face with his elderly eyes. And then he lifted him high above his head and recited the prayer that had been in his heart for many years. Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Do you recognize those words? I should see a lot of nods. Every time we have communion, at the end of the communion service, we sing the Nunc Dimittis, those same words. Lord, now let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the face. I don't need to go on. You all know the words to it. It's also part of the Compline service, the last worship service in the evening. Simeon, who had been waiting for the Messiah to be revealed and the scripture to be fulfilled for his whole life, then continued with his prophecy to Joseph and Mary. I want you to work with me on this. Close your eyes. Put yourself in the mind of a new parent and hear the words of Simeon's prophecy to Mary. First, Simeon blessed them because they were new parents. Then he said, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." You can open your eyes now. At what point in listening to that did you think that this prophecy was not completely positive? I'll tell you, if I had a brand new baby and somebody said, and a sword will pierce your soul too, I'd have been terrified. Really. The phrase falling and rising of many suggests that Jesus will disturb the existing hierarchy. And because of that disturbance, will face resistance. He will become a stumbling block to the future success of many in the nation. Simeon's prediction that a sword will pierce Mary's own soul is interesting on a couple of different levels. First, the words, now that we have experienced Jesus' life through Scripture previously, obviously point to the crucifixion and Jesus' death. Second, isn't it interesting that the words are directed to Mary, not Joseph? Because Mary, as Jesus' mother, is being tasked with walking with Jesus in his journey, just as she has been with him since conception. It's as if Simeon knew Jesus' journey from his lifetime of waiting for the Messiah, thinking, I know there have been many amazing predictions about Jesus, but there's more to the story. Not everything that will occur will be joyful or comforting. Simeon's prophecy both complicates the story and offers a realistic view of what challenging the empire entails. Simeon warns Mary, and by extension all of us, of what will happen when Jesus' rise in power will be to the established earthly hierarchy. That hierarchy has been in place for years and years and years. And the Jewish patriarchy is not going to take well to being challenged. I also find it interesting that at the announcement of Mary's conception, she asked questions of the angel Gabriel. But when she heard from the shepherds, and as they worshiped at the manger, she met their words with silence. She also met Simeon's words with silence. It would have had to have been almost too much information to comprehend. This child, this precious little baby with 10 perfect fingers and 10 perfect toes and their beautiful wrinkles, is the Messiah that the scriptures foretold and the people have longed for their whole lives? Now we've heard from Simeon, who, like Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, has a story to tell his whole life. But Simeon is not to have the last word at this ceremonial occasion of Jesus' ritual circumcision and redemption. Remember that part of this ritual is that the firstborn son is to be dedicated, either in reality, giving him to the priests to raise, or figuratively, by giving an offering of two turtle doves or two pigeons in exchange for his offering to God. The last word is from a woman we visited earlier in the Advent season, Anna. Anna, who had been married and widowed, was a resident of the Court of Women, a woman who guided the newcomers through the maze of the street vendors to the temple. Anna, who was now 84 years old and had dedicated her whole life after becoming a widow to God, witnessing to others that the kingdom of God was near, now was watching Simeon as he celebrated his release and the ritual under the law for Jesus. Anna, in response to watching Simeon raise Jesus in his hands to the heavens, simply watched in amazement, knowing that this small baby was the Messiah that was so long awaited. So she continued to praise God and give thanks that she was alive to witness this happening. As in seminary, we were challenged by a particular question each day. I ask of you that same challenging question. Where is God in all of this? Where is God? When I read this gospel account of Jesus' presentation in the temple, I cannot help but think that God is truly present as Jesus' grandfather. Think about it. God is not Jesus' earthly father. Joseph is. So God's role is, in addition to being the triune God, the grandfather who smiles and laughs at every coo and giggle the baby Jesus utters. God watches each step and each new food introduction. God participates with Jesus, and God participates with us. We are never without God in our lives. We may feel that we are walking the journey alone, but whenever we are too tired to walk, God is carrying us lovingly as we struggle. God cries tears of joy too large to imagine when we follow him and do his will. And he walks alongside us when our paths diverge, so that the evil one cannot harm us. On this day, when we celebrate the first in many milestones in the life of Jesus, our earthly brother, let's remember to look through the eyes of the many witnesses to Jesus' birth, Jewish temple rituals, and his life, so that we may better learn how to live. Let us always look for where God is in all of this. Amen.